Hi, I'm Stan Asher, and on today's program, you heard it announced just a moment ago, we have in the studio Montreal filmmaker Abigail Hirsch. Hi.
Hello.
We've met on a number of occasions, and you've always given me little hints of a project you're working on, and now we're going to talk about it. Yiddish, A Tale of Survival is the name of a film in progress?
Yes, it is.
How much in progress is it now?
Well, right now we're in post-production.
Ah, that's good.
Which means we're editing.
Mm-hmm.
And we should have a rough cut by the first week in August. And
oh, good.
Possibly a completed product by the end of November.
How long will the finished product run?
We're hoping for about 45 to 50 minutes.
Yeah, I think 52 minutes is usually television time, in my own experience.
That's correct.
Now,
that's
the correct. Title, Yiddish, A Tale of Survival. It sounds almost ominous that there is danger of language. Is there danger that the Yiddish will become an extinct language?
Well, of course, we all know that because it's spoken by less and less people. And there's less and less Yiddish around. And it's hung on by a thread.
Yeah, well, thanks to people like yourself, like Theodore Bikel, who's in town as we speak this week, and good many others. I know that Isaac Bashevis Singer came to Montreal many years ago at the Jewish Public Library. He gave a talk on the death of Yiddish or the Yiddish dying or something like that. He spoke in English. So that'll tell you something.
Now, right.
You're using
Let me share something with you that I just discovered.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I discovered a website called The Moment, The Yiddish Moment, which has like 6,000 subscribers from all over the world, and they're all Yiddish speakers. Mm-hmm. The whole website is in Yiddish. In Yiddish.
Transliterated in...
No, it's only in Yiddish.
Okay.
Which can be a stumbling block. But it's mainly native Yiddish speakers who are still alive in Europe and North America.
And Israel, I would assume.
And Israel. Mm-hmm. And they're even creating new Yiddish products. And I may actually be doing a television series with them Yiddish.
So they're having to invent Yiddish words for things like a tablet and a computer, and I'm sure.
And they have to translate even Yiddish words for each other because, you know, people are forgetting the Yiddish that they even knew.
Now, the structure of your film is through some stories of people who are at the forefront of the survival of Yiddish.
Yes.
Who are these people, and how did you choose them?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. So I focus on three personalities.
Mm-hmm.
Each one represents a different generation since the Holocaust. And I discovered their strength and their power all at the same time when I attended the International Yiddish Theater Festival.
Oh, here in Montreal.
It took place here in Montreal. You probably
I was there, too. There
were
two of them.
There were two of them. Years. One 3 years ago and one a year ago.
I met a man named Mendy Kahan from Israel
who's here
and sitting in your seat now.
That's correct.
Talking about his involvement in Yiddish.
Yes, he's an amazing soul.
Yes.
And I did meet him also at the festival and in Israel as part of my show, as part of my documentary. Mm-hmm. And I picked three personalities. One of them is Bryna Wasserman, who created the International Yiddish Theater Festival. And, of course, she has a background in Yiddish and Yiddish theater, being the daughter of
Dora Wasserman,
who we all know, especially here in Montreal.
That's right.
Yes.
And, of course, Bryna is now in New York working in Yiddish theater there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. She's with the folks.
But she did come back.
Yes.
And she, I guess, will occasionally come back to Montreal.
Oh, I'm sure she will. She has very strong roots in Montreal. Right. And the first generation is Shmuel Atzma, who also attended the International Yiddish Theater
What's
Festival.
What's his name again, please?
His name is Shmuel or Shmulik Atzmon.
Okay, I may have seen him there. What is his role in Yiddish?
He had been a He was a survivor mm-hmm. who survived the war with his family in Europe. And at the age of 50, after being a Hebrew actor with HaBima, created the Yiddish Spiel, the Yiddish Repertory Theater in Israel.
Is Israel a place where Yiddish is strong?
Well, that's a real...
That's one of the things your film will
tell us.
That's
a really special story because in the beginning, you know, when the state was first declared, Yiddish was almost verboten, forbidden.
Yeah.
Because the whole focus was on Hebrew, and even with the survivors arriving, the state was encouraging them to speak Hebrew. So there was very little Yiddish.
I guess it would have been almost logical for them to have Yiddish as the main language, because Hebrew had been relegated to prayers.
Exactly, exactly.
And I read somewhere that there was a chance early in history that Yiddish would be the national language.
Well, there were lots of thoughts about what would be the national language. Some people even promoted German the national language.
Well.
mm-hmm. You know, but eventually in the 1900s, when Ben Yehuda started speaking Hebrew, mm-hmm. and, you know, he was almost the first person who started speaking Hebrew in Israel. Since then, Hebrew has gained ascendancy and is the national language.
So you have Brian Wasserman and
yes.
Mr. Atzmon.
And the third character is this young woman, Milena Kartofsky, uh-huh. who also came to the Yiddish Theater Festival.
Oh, so the festival was a sort of catalyst for all of the...
It was. You know. And the mm-hmm. festival itself was amazing because there were 30 Yiddish theater troupes from all over mm-hmm. the world. Of course, I couldn't feature all of them, so I picked three personalities. And this Milena, she's 23 years old. She was 23 when she came to the festival. Mm-hmm. She created a one-woman show.
Where is she from?
She's from Paris.
Oh, from Paris. Oh.
Yes, yes. She grew up in Paris.
Yiddish is spoken in some pockets of Paris.
Very little here and there. Yeah. She happens to be the daughter of a mixed marriage. Her mother comes from an Ashkenazi family. Her father is Faradi.
Oh, that's a mixed marriage these days.
Yes. Her grandparents are actually survivors. Mm-hmm. So she had heard Yiddish during her childhood, but... She really only discovered Yiddish about 2 years before she created this one-woman show and before she became really an activist for Yiddish.
You mentioned Yiddish in Paris. I can't resist telling you what happened to me. Nothing to me personally, but I was walking through the Plätzl, area, the 4e arrondissement, which was at the time, about 25 years ago, a Yiddish-speaking area. It isn't less so now. Mm-hmm. And a woman came out of a store and crossed the street to meet another woman. And I heard this sentence because the second woman walked away and didn't acknowledge her. And the first woman said, "Was ist der Mann? Kennst du nicht? Gib ihm etwas, ein bisschen Bonjour." Translation, can't you at least say hello to me? And I don't know,
it's lovely.
The state of Yiddish in Paris.
That's the state of Yiddish all over the world. It, you know, it borrows language from wherever it is. And I saw a wonderful piece on YouTube about Yiddish in New York, mm-hmm. you know, which is very similar, only it uses shopping and all these English words interspersed with Yiddish.
So three people have all been filmed?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, I was in Israel twice.
Oh, for Mr. Atzmon?
For Mr. Atzmon and his troupe, and I interviewed him and mm-hmm. his family and the performers, which is very interesting because in order to put this troupe together, he had to audition Hebrew-speaking actors, and they had to be taught Yiddish.
Oh, so do they sound authentic enough?
They do. Yeah. They really, really do. And they love the whole Yiddish culture. Mm-hmm. They've, you know, been doing this for years now, and they just love it.
I once went by the rule. I haven't been to Israel for a long time, but when I was there some years ago, it must have been in the 1980s, I went by a self-appointed rule that anyone with gray hair probably understood Yiddish. because I would have been an older generation. And it worked most of the time, you know, mm-hmm. with someone in a store mm-hmm. or someone who was serving you ice cream on the street or whatever. So that was my confrontation with Yiddish there. So you've got the film, you've got it recorded, ready to go, a bit of post-production you're now working. How will this film be seen by the public? That's one of the reasons you're here at the station.
Of course, of course. Well, I am I'm hoping to promote it to festivals and to sell it possibly to television or, you know, to people who would distribute it. And it's something that I really would like to have seen as much as possible because it tells an important story.
Well, there are, I can think of various outlets in Canada. I'm not sure about elsewhere. I know about people who've sold similar projects to Bravo.
Yeah, there are.
I'm just giving you one.
I know. I actually, when I was in Israel, I met a female film distributor. So I'm going to send it to her, of course, and other people who are involved in film. And so, I have some ideas about who to promote it to.
And you're also trying to set up involvement from the public.
Which
we should talk about.
Yes. I recently launched an Indiegogo site, which is a site to collect funds for the post-production phase of the movie, of the documentary.
So it's Indie, I-N-D-I-E. I was confused the first time you mentioned that to me.
Yes, Indiegogo.
Okay.
Indiegogo.com. Mm-hmm. And you type in Yiddish, A Tale of Survival, and you'll get to the site. And
you have different levels of support.
Absolutely. Any amount is welcome. And
I like your phrases without... Well, why not mention them? Supporter for $25, 54, which is, of course, three times high. And then 100, a friend. For 500, a tzaddik. You could almost not ask for anything better than a tzaddik. But for 1,000, it's an angel, a malach. For 5,000, a pillar of the community.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Have the checks started rolling in?
Well, they've started. So far, I've collected about $1,250.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's not
and
bad.
I have about another month on the mm-hmm. on the promotion, and I'm really inviting anyone that is interested in this topic to contribute and to share their passion and their ideas and their financial resources to the extent that they can.
For which they get some kind of tax something?
Well, I'm not a tax-deductible organization right now, so I can't give any tax receipts. But I do offer certain perks, like maybe a DVD of the film when it comes out, and stuff like that.
That's worth considering.
Yes, yes, yes.
Now, I guess then, since you're based in Montreal, you're mm-hmm. you're hoping that Montreal is a center of Yiddish as well, as far as people being interested in helping you and so on.
Yes.
What have you found in that nature? Is Yiddish still alive and well in the city?
Well, Yiddish is something that needs to be regenerated in every generation because, of course, we don't have the natural Yiddish communities anymore, but... I'm sure you're aware that Bryna Wasserman has the Yaya troops,
right.
where she engages children in Yiddish productions.
Yeah, and they put out plays like No More Raisins,
No More Almonds, yeah. Yes.
Rozhinkiz mit Mandlin, for people who do want some Yiddish
yes,
in the program.
Yes, that's right, yeah. That's right. So, and even in the Second Avenue production, mm-hmm. there was a young performer called Jordana who was like 15 years old. And actually, that's really how Yiddish has been perpetuated in Montreal, through the mm-hmm. Yiddish troupe that was mainly volunteers. And even the people who are now in there are children of the original.
Yes, I've noticed that.
Original cast. And so it's a continuing population that is passionate about Yiddish.
And I noticed in the casts, people whom I taught in high school, we're going to say 50 or more years ago. One name that comes to mind, maybe, I don't know if he's anywhere in the film, somebody named Billy Finkelstein.
Oh, well, yes. Huh. Audrey Finkelstein is the new co-director with Bryna Wasserman.
That's the connection.
His other daughter is also in the production.
And he is too.
And he is too. And he, I even met his granddaughter when I went to some of the rehearsals.
Oh, that's making me feel very old.
Yes, yes, yes.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
Well, we're going to take a brief break now so that the station can insert a couple of announcements. When we come back, I'm going to ask you where and how you learned your Yiddish and how you became so passionate about it. But we'll be right back.
Okay, very good.
Radio Shalom. Shalom. Shalom.
And we're back today on our program, and our program is, of course, the Montreal Jewish Magazine, and each week we find something to talk about with someone who has something to tell us about Jewish culture in Montreal, and Abigail Hirsch is such a person today, and I was asking her just before the break about her own Yiddish. I won't ask you to give me a Yiddish sentence, but why and how and when and where did you get interested?
Wow.
As a child?
As a child, I had a very minimal Yiddish. I went to Hebrew afternoon school and a public school education here in Montreal. I listened to some Theodore Bekel records, and that was my main connection.
Did your family speak Yiddish?
My family is from Hungary. They didn't really speak Yiddish at home.
A lot of them don't necessarily.
That's right. So we didn't speak Yiddish at home, but they loved to sing the Yiddish songs. My uncle had a good voice. And so that's my main connection to Yiddish.
When I've interviewed other people about Yiddish in some fashion or other, they've often told me they learned it in self-defense because their parents would speak Yiddish when they didn't want the children to know something.
Absolutely.
You've heard that before.
My mother told me that. My mother told me that. She said, you know, my parents spoke Yiddish when they didn't want us to understand, but I understood everything. And that's how my mother knows her Yiddish, you know. And my father, too, you know, growing up in Hungary. And you know, they were completely secular and never spoke much Yiddish at home. And I didn't really think about it very much until the International Yiddish Theater Festival.
Oh, so it was the festival that really was the catalyst for you.
Yes, it really was. It really was. I attended the first one, and I attended the second one. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but the first one and the second one had a symposium.
Yes, they did. I sat in on a couple of the things
So it was really astounding to me to realize that there were university students studying Yiddish all over the country, that there were Yiddish troops in Romania, in Poland, in places where there are no longer any really Jews.
Well, the Romanian one is a case in point. I was in Romania many years ago, although I never got to see it, the troop. I later found out that none of the actors are Jewish.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct.
Oh, nor in Poland, maybe just a few.
A few of them, but yes. And the question that is asked, so what's the point, right? And their own answer is that they miss the Yiddish culture and they want to be reminded of it. And when as I was watching all these plays, I realized how much of the Jewish legacy is embedded in the Yiddish plays. And this is why I felt very interested in promoting the Yiddish theater, the Yiddish language, and bringing it to the next generation.
In the time we're speaking now, it's just during the summer session when Theodore Bekel came to town.
Oh, my God,
he's done a great deal for Yiddish over the years. Did you have a chance to meet him?
I've seen it twice. I've seen his show twice.
The one currently as we speak. It may not be on when we get to play this program, but it will have been recently on.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. I mean, anyone who can see it anywhere really should. He is amazing.
He's hoping to make a film of it, too.
Yes.
Competition.
I do know that. That's not really competition.
No, I know. I'm just kidding.
It's just an addition to what I'm doing.
That's right.
You know, because what he does is bring Shalom Aleichem to life. Mm-hmm. And bring the characters that Shalom Aleichem wrote about to life. And Shalom Aleichem, of course, wrote about the characters that he knew from the shtetls, where he was born. And I don't know if you know this, but he was one of the few writers who wrote in Yiddish.
At that time.
Even at that time.
Even at that time.
Even at that time. And because it was a time when people were leaving the shtetl and moving to cities and becoming secularized and exchanging the Yiddish for other languages.
As you yourself said, having a background of family from Hungary, that was not a country where that much Yiddish was spoken.
That's correct. That's correct.
Which is a little interesting because all around it, in Romania and Poland and others, Yiddish was spoken.
Well, Yiddish was spoken in the countryside, and it was the language of Jewish communities. And, of course, it was the language that the Talmud and the Torah was studied in. And even to this day, the Hasidim study Talmud and Torah in Yiddish. They don't speak Yiddish because they want to preserve
I've heard little kids speaking Yiddish on the streets of Utrecht.
Oh, I'm sorry. They speak Yiddish. They don't speak Hebrew.
Hebrew, okay, right.
They don't speak Hebrew, but they speak Yiddish because they forbid themselves from speaking Hebrew because they want to preserve the Hebrew for the holy texts.
There is a neighborhood north of Montreal known as the Tosh, where a particular sect of Hasidim lives. I went up there one day to show it around to someone. And I brought my car, which was at that time a large van, of the Dodge Caravan type. I parked the car along with about 20 others in a lot. And as I walked out, it was a winter day. I was wearing a big fur hat, a long black coat.
And you were wearing a long black coat?
Yeah, but it was a winter coat.
Oh, it was a winter coat.
And I have a beard. And two little kids, must have been 6 or 7 years old, came up and stood about an inch away from me and spoke of me in Yiddish. And I'll give you the quick conversation in Yiddish, and maybe we'll translate it. As a yid, no, as nishtayid. Ja, a hot a kapalush, meaning a large hat. No, as nishtayid, a hot nishka payas. As ja, a yid, a hot a kapote, meaning a long black coat. No, as nishtayid, back and forth, ja, as this. And finally, the winner was a little boy who said, as a yid, a hot a yiddish a car.
What kind of a car did you have?
A Dodge Caravan, but it had lots of seats, and the Hasidim have lots of children, and they all drive that particular kind of car.
I see.
Do you get to speak much Yiddish in your daily activities, other than perhaps when you were working on the film?
Really, no. I'm thinking of taking some Yiddish classes.
There are courses being given
Yiddish
in Montreal.
Courses, yes. Janie Respitz gives some classes at the Jewish Public Library.
Yeah, I think at McGill.
You can take Yiddish at McGill.
That's right, yeah.
Yes.
That might be fun.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So the film should be out there ready for public consumption when?
Hopefully by the end of November.
And do you have a particular plan of how you will get the public to hear about it?
Well, I have my trailer on the website.
Okay, yeah. Let's say something about that
right now.
The trailer.
I have a website called AskAbigailProductions.com.
AskAbigailProductions.com.
And
right.
On it, I write a blog. I have a blog called Why Yiddish.
Okay.
And in there, you can see the trailer and a little more idea about why I think Yiddish is important.
Mm-hmm. So again, Ask Abigail.
Ask Abigail Productions, which is the name of my production company.
.com.
Mm-hmm. And that's my website, and I frequently post, what I'm doing there.
Okay, that's so people can track that down quite easily.
Yes.
And they will see some bits of the film.
That's right.
To get them started.
Absolutely.
And interested.
Yes.
I guess there are a number of venues in Montreal once the film is made where it can probably be shown, or do you want to leave it with a distributor and have them look
at
it?
I will do as much as I can to promote it as widely as I can and to show it as widely as I can.
Because, you've got the Jewish Library and all those other organizations, and they have
synagogues, adult education groups, schools. I really want it to go out there because it's really a very important story.
Is Yiddish taught actively in schools in Montreal? I believe to some extent.
Well,
it
to
is.
Some, I you know, the Yiddish, Montreal is unique because it has the Jewish People's School, and it has two schools, I believe, that were based on the teaching of Yiddish.
The Peretz Shula and the Volksschule.
The Peretz Shula and the Volksschule,
right.
And they have raised generations mm-hmm. of Yiddish speakers. I didn't attend there, so I didn't. My Yiddish is not as good as it could be.
We have Yiddish on this radio station 1 hour a week.
Really?
But truth to be told, it's not local. Mm-hmm. It's from New York.
Okay.
It's the Vorwärtsstunde, the forward hour, okay. based on the Forward newspaper.
Uh-huh.
Which would be a good place to tell people about your...
Absolutely.
We have no control over the stuff that just comes over the web from there. But the Forward, both in English or in Yiddish, would be a good place to send out information about your film.
I'm sending it far and wide. Yes, and I invite people to support the project, of course.
Yeah. Once again, we won't go into all the details of the prices and so on, but how can people do that on your website again?
If they go to my website, they will see a link to the Indiegogo site where they can contribute via the internet, via PayPal or credit card. And I really appreciate any amount and, of course, also their comments and their involvement with Yiddish, which I would appreciate hearing from the public.
Was Montreal a good city for the research that you would need in this film? Were you able to have resources that helped you?
Yes. The Jewish Public Library has an archive, and many people have been very helpful. Bryna Wasserman herself and the Dora Wasserman Theater and... But I really had to go to New York also.
Ah, of course.
And I was in New York. I actually followed Milena. Milena Kartofsky.
Oh,
She was here in Montreal for the festival. Then she came back to attend Kles Canada.
Ah.
And then spent 3 months in New York doing an experimental Yiddish theater piece and also a concert. So I was able to follow her there and explore the Yiddish theater scene in New York.
That Bryna does, or are there other people as well?
Oh, there are other people as well. There's Bryna, of course, the Volksbühne, and David Mandelbaum, and other people.
There are, so it's more alive there, but of course you've got so many more people.
Yes, that's right.
And
then, of course, I went to Israel, and that was a treat because I discovered Mendy Kahan.
Oh, yeah, he's a delightful guy. Yeah.
And he has something called Jung Yiddish.
That's right, yeah.
And he's done the collecting of Yiddish books. So he has like 40,000 books on this site in Tel Aviv.
There's somebody in Massachusetts that has done this for many years as well, although not necessarily
David
Yiddish.
Roskies. No, it's Yiddish. It's called the National Yiddish Book Center.
Oh, that's right, in Amherst, Mass.
I'm planning to go there next week.
Oh, good.
Yes. Yes.
Has Kles Canada been a good place for Yiddish to be promulgated, or is it?
Well, it's a wonderful opportunity for young people to enhance their Yiddish skills in performance and music and theater. It's a wonderful place, and for families because it takes place at the B'nai B'rith camp.
I did
spend a week up there.
You did go up there.
Yes, and I loved it.
Well, to hear you say it, the title of your film Yiddish: A Tale of Survival is a very positive title. It's surviving, and the film is just about ready to be unleashed into the Yiddish and non-Yiddish speaking world.
That's right.
And thank you very much. I've been talking to Abigail Hirsch. Once more, the website?
AskAbigailProductions.com or Indiegogo.com, Yiddish, A Tale of Survival.
All right, A Tale of Survival indeed. And thanks very much. And I hope this will get some people acting on your behalf.
And thank you for your support.
Oh, this is what this program is for.
Thank you very much.
This is the only and only Yiddish repertoire theater existing in Israel, since Israel is a country.
I am a survivor of the Holocaust, and I am proud to say it. Thank you.
The idea of promoting the Yiddish theater is to know that this is the ultimate memory of the Holocaust, which wiped out not only 6 million of Yiddish speakers, but also thousands, hundreds of thousands creators, artists, playwrights, actors, musicians who did this wonderful work. And I feel it as a leader of this theater that this is one of my main things that I have to do.
In essence, Dori used to say theater is a mirror, it's a reflection of your life. Yiddish and Yiddish theater came to me via mother's milk. Being Dora Wasserman's daughter leaves you very few options except for love of theater, love of beauty, love of for Yiddish.
So it's a heavy relationship because it's obviously linked to my family and to the Shoah. I didn't decide that I will have to work with Yiddish. It just fell on me and something happened. And I totally fall in love with the Yiddish culture. I try to rescue a culture which is barely dead in most part of the world. I try to build my Jewish identity through it too. And I mean, everything was destroyed except a few people and except the culture in some way. So to me, it's really important to make it alive, whatever happened, because I am alive. It's a miracle that I'm here.